So I have kind of a diverse background, I guess. Yeah, I'm just really excited to be able to put it to work up here in House District 11 with this campaign. We're really focusing on public education, on healthcare access, economic recovery, and government reform. And I think I've got really good background to kind of focus on some of those issues.
Now, you've been around and you explained this, the things that you're really passionate about. What's been the feedback from those that you've come in contact with? Because you've been talking to a lot of people.
Of course, COVID-19 has made some of that hard. So we rely on digital methods, on virtual town halls. The biggest feedback I got when we were knocking doors in the winter and still through town halls is public education.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are very concerned about public education funding. Those who no longer have children in the public school system or in schools at all are still very concerned about public education funding. And it really comes down to per pupil spending, right? Mm-hmm. We're not at a regionally competitive rate. And that's what I hear a lot about. It isn't just teacher pay. It's not just, you know, administrative costs or whatever. It's, well, we're underfunded and we mm-hmm. have additional students.
Wonderful. You're getting the feedback and mm-hmm. and you're talking to a wide variety of people. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that those older folks who no longer have kids in school, many would write them off and say, well, what's their concern? Well, I know what their concern is. It's their grandchildren.
Yes, their grandchildren.
The
and there's so much just commitment in Bartlesville and Collinsville for the community in general
mm-hmm.
because they know that good education keeps the community better and it makes sure that we have, it ensures that we have a solid workforce, which keeps the city growing and moving and progressing instead of stagnating.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to healthcare, COVID and non-COVID, I imagine the concerns are relatively similar, but I understand
yes.
COVID might have put an exclamation point behind
I think
other
it
people's
does.
Concern.
It's really shown the cracks in the system even more. I know that, you know, Medicaid expansion and particularly the mechanism for State Question 802 Medicaid expansion was heavily debated in June. And obviously now it's up to the legislature to fund Medicaid expansion now by a constitutional mandate within the Oklahoma Constitution. But that's going to be really helpful because there's about 200,000 Oklahomans across the state who've been in this coverage crater
mm-hmm.
Who don't qualify for marketplace subsidies, but who also really need health insurance and don't make enough to actually pay for it themselves. I've been in that gap myself, working for a small business. I loved my job, wasn't given health insurance. I really couldn't afford marketplace insurance, and so Medicaid expansion would have helped me directly. It allows providers to be paid, right? Your doctor gets paid, which helps rural hospitals stay open. It helps doctor's offices stay open in small areas like Bartlesville. But it also ensures that people get the quality, holistic, preventative, and emergency care that they need.
Have you been talking to people in the medical community about these concerns? And
yes.
Reacted to what you've heard from constituents?
Yeah, I've gotten to talk to a few doctors. Of course, with COVID, everybody is extremely taxed and extremely busy. So I've had fewer conversations with the medical field than with other fields just because of that issue. I did get to talk to Molly Collins over at Family Healthcare Clinic. They primarily see Medicaid patients and the underinsured, which I've also been underinsured previously, you know, with a $6,000 individual deductible, mm-hmm. you need coverage that doesn't require you to pay, you know, hundreds of dollars out of pocket. So that's exactly the role that they serve. And they're going to be they've seen a lot more of those patients. They're going to continue seeing more. Medicaid expansion might increase their caseload, but it does sound like they have the capacity to expand. So mm-hmm. that's good.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Now with COVID going on, a lot of concerns, not only health, which is primary,
mm-hmm.
but folks who may have been jobless.
Yes.
Have you been hearing from folks and their plight as far as employment?
I'm not super plugged in. So unemployment complaints here, I think, are often going to the Oklahoma Employment Security Commission, OESC.
Uh-huh.
So that's usually what I've been hearing about the unemployment is just simply the scale.
Uh-huh.
I think individual complaints, because they're directed to OESC, I usually just hear about them from that agency.
Yeah.
And I know that they did a big claim days back in July, trying to get claims processed, trying to get these high number of Oklahomans out of work for reasons beyond their control. Trying to get them processed so they could get paid. There are still a lot of people waiting on payment. I know that there are still people in Bartlesville that have been struggling with that, especially the self-employed individuals when that was an option. I think it's PUA, not that I'm going to remember what the acronym stands for right now. But yeah, they were really waiting and struggling for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me like a lot of those issues have been resolved and they've caught up quite a bit with the new administrative people in the OESC system. Mm-hmm. So it does, I haven't been hearing as much about that lately. But nationally, of course, unemployment numbers have gone back up a little bit. And so we are really concerned about employment opportunities in the state, in Bartlesville, in Collinsville, as we, you know, continue in 2020.
Have you been able to talk with some of our frontline workers, not only hospital, but also police and fire? How's that been going?
Yeah, Chief Rolls sent me an email that I promised Chief Rolls I will get back to you as soon as I can. He sent it the day that I was not. I actually got tested for COVID. I wasn't feeling well. I was sick for about a week and a half. And that's the day I got the email. So I typed him back and I said, hey, I'm not feeling well. I'll get back to this as soon as I can. Mm-hmm. And so I still need to get back to him on that. But we were thinking about trying to set up some kind of first responder Zoom call, some kind of virtual call. It's hard because everybody's time is super taxed right now.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Everybody is really busy. Everybody's tired. But I have been able to talk to some frontline workers. I kind of get to see a bit of a lens because I follow all of the care homes, which are actually have quite a bit of a social media presence in Bartlesville, and getting to kind of see what they're doing to keep their residents' mental health up, keep them happy and healthy. Back when one of the care homes was having issues with COVID in April, we got a pretty good lens on the fact that there's lots of job opportunities for like CNAs and LPNs. There's lots of need up here. It's just hard to keep people in those positions sometimes. A lot of that could have to do with the amount of pay available. And I know that that's tricky. To be a low-level healthcare worker, I've been there myself. The pay isn't great. The work is hard. And so kind of negotiating some of those issues, especially in the middle of a pandemic when hazard pay is a big concern, that's something that we're really going to have to focus on moving forward. And that is something I've heard from that community.
Very good. We're speaking with Emily Tindall, and she is running for the Oklahoma District 11 seat. And it seems like you've been running for a long time. And we think right now it's like, well, it's almost September. You got October, you got November. Observers would say this must be the home stretch, but I understand that this is the long game.
Yes.
And it's patience and perseverance for people who are running for office.
Yeah, we've been filed with the Oklahoma Ethics Commission, which you have to do after you either take in or expend $1,000 for your campaign. Mm-hmm. You have to file with the Oklahoma Ethics Commission. You have reports due either quarterly or on an election schedule during election years. And so we've been filed with them for over a year now. We just celebrated our 1 year of campaigning officially in the system. Mm-hmm. And so we've been playing the long game this whole time. And I know 67 days sounds like a long time to some, doesn't sound very long to me right now.
No.
Because really, you know, you've got a month until you're about to start, like, get out the vote and really trying to mobilize your base to vote. This year, with high levels of absentee voting, really we're looking at more like 6 weeks until people are starting to turn in their absentee ballots. Mm-hmm. So that 10 weeks that we have really shortens quite a bit when people are going to start sending their ballots in mid-October. Or at the end of October.
Okay, very good. Now, we've talked a little bit about your passions, which is, of course, healthcare and education. And anything else that you'd like to let people know about that Emily Tindall is passionate about to take to Oklahoma City should she get elected?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been an hourly wage worker for my entire career. I'm not working currently. I was able to quit my job to campaign. So I'm not doing three things full time and just doing two things full time. But I've been an hourly wage worker, and I understand that, you know, there's things like labor floors and labor percentages, and there's really critical factors when you're an employer. There's also critical factors when you're an employee. And with wages stagnating after the Great Recession, but costs continuing to increase, evaluating where we stand with employer-employee relationships is really important to looking at how our state is working and how our state economy is working from a holistic level. Mm-hmm. Affordable housing is a big concern. You want to make sure you're looking at the right mechanism for fixing these problems, right? And you want to make sure that it's within the scope of the level of government that you're at. So maybe affordable housing is best left to cities or counties versus the state. But there are certain things that you can do at different levels. And thankfully, the U.S. Constitution provides for that via the 10th Amendment, which leaves anything not prescribed in the Constitution at the federal level to the states and the people. And so there's quite a wide scope of what the state government is able to do. So as we learn about new problems, as we, as I bring my own experiences as a working class, middle class individual who is trying to get an education on the side, as I bring that perspective, as we hear from more perspectives, we're able to better ascertain what kind of policies we need to go ahead and file before that December deadline. So looking at, should minimum wages be set by cities, not by the state government? That's one issue. Or at least should they have the power to set a different one? That might help places like Tulsa and Oklahoma City and Bartlesville, who might have higher costs of living than Ada or Ardmore or Guymon, because you do need quite a bit of local control in these areas. So, yeah, I'm really excited about labor policy, about trying to make sure that people's labor is honored and respected and dignified with the pay that they're due, and also that we provide good opportunities for small businesses and large businesses to grow and expand in our state.
Very good. Now, if you make it, tell those people that make pills and medicines, Oklahoma's place that got to be.
Well,
we don't need them other places. We need them right here.
Well, there's lots of industries that I think Oklahoma is a great place for. And I got to talk to Lyndall Fields over at Tri-County Tech.
Yep, good friend of ours.
And they are, he's incredible. Tri-County Tech is incredible. I had this brief moment where I was like, what if I just quit college and went back to tech? And then I was like, no, I've been working at this degree for a long time. I've been working really hard, but it did make me miss my tech days.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking about, with their flexible systems, how they're actually able to add programs quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes Bartlesville and the area, so Nevada, Bartlesville, Osage County, even parts of Tulsa and Collinsville, really good areas to bring jobs to, because they're able to add these technical programs and turn out a workforce very quickly. And they also have very flexible programs for adult learners. So a lot of these unemployment issues where we're actually seeing jobs go away with COVID-19 and jobs go away with automation and technology changes, that Tri-County Tech could actually really help us fill that workforce void and bring Bartlesville into a new area in the 21st century.
Indeed. We're talking here with Emily Tindall. She's running for District 11 on the November ballot. And we're getting about to the close of the program, so this is where we pull out the stump and candidates get to say what they need to say.
Awesome.
You're on.
Yeah, so despite everything happening at the national and global level, we are really concerned about state issues. We're really concerned about public education investment, common education, and higher education investment. We're really concerned about healthcare access, mental health, maternal health, preventative care, holistic care, nutrition care, these critical aspects that make a holistic healthcare system. We know that there's a lot of reform to do at the state level, and that government reform and making sure that we are assigning the right numbers to the budget are really critical. So we do want to focus on government reform. Criminal justice reform is a big part of that. It's an area ripe for adjustment, ripe for reassigning funds and making things better, because we're not getting good results from the money that we're spending. And we also know that, small businesses need to grow. Big businesses need to grow. We need to improve and work towards what Oklahoma really can be in the 21st century. So we are really focused on homegrown state issues, ensuring that House District 11 is leading the way in Oklahoma in all of these issues, because we have some of the best and the brightest in the state, some of the best capacity to really advance into the 21st century. And we're excited to really get to lead the way. And hopefully on November 3rd, we can do that.
Now, if people want to know more or to help you out one way or another as a volunteer or perhaps as a donor, do you have a website and a Facebook page or both?
Yes, we have a Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter. Oh. So take your pick. Also LinkedIn. Connect with me on LinkedIn. We can do that. And it's Emily for Oklahoma at all of those, except on LinkedIn, it's Emily Murphy Tindall. And my first name is spelled E-M-I-L-I-E. So you have to search Emily E-M-I-L-I-E for Oklahoma to get any of this to pop up. And you can also reach out by cell phone. You can call or text. My number is 918-606-8646. You can also email the campaign at hello@emilyforoklahoma.com. So pretty much any way you can think of, you can communicate with us.
Thank you very much for sharing with us this Friday here on our Community Connection. Emily Tindall, thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
All righty. Stay right there. We've got more coming up. This has been brought to you by Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home and Tall Grass Motors on K1, the one you trust.